Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. It's Anne-Marie Currie, your presenter of this edition of Senior Focus, speaking. And I have with me in the studio some special guests today. And our key focus is to talk about what gardening project is happening through Co-Create Age Centre. And I'm initially contacted Tamika Simpson, the manager of the Co-Create Ageing Centre at Auckland University, who's a sociologist and a passionate gardener, just because I was so curious to know what project they were working on and how it was going. I do keep up with a lot of research into ageing well, and I'm aware that gardening, music, creative arts, and particularly dance and even photography are all avenues that have been researched and shown to be beneficial for the health outcomes for seniors. So, Tamika, I'm very keen to hear how you got involved in this project, but I want to introduce Chris Perkins and May Roberts. So, Chris is a retired psychiatrist, she tells me. She's a keen gardener and is very keen on the benefits of being in nature. So you're working in the bush 2.5 days a week, and you are growing such a lot of prolific plants in your property that you're able to give them away to your neighbours.
That's right, yeah.
Fantastic. And May, you've come to New Zealand from Hong Kong and some years ago, so you've been here quite a while, but you joined this Co-Create Age Centre 2.5 years ago when it was set up. So you're a sort of founding member. Mm. So very pleased to have you with us.
I do enjoy being a member of the Co-Creators.
Mm. Okay, so starting out on the research side, with Chris and Tamika both being researchers. Tamika, can you enlighten me as to how you got into this particular research project?
Thanks, Anne-Marie, and thanks so much for your interest and for reaching out to me. It's a great privilege to be the manager. So one way that the Centre for Co-Created Ageing Research works is to speak with older people and their whānau about what research we should be doing as a centre. So our first couple of years, we put a lot of effort into listening events, wānanga hui, to hear what is important to a well-lived life as we get older, as we all do. It's a shared thing. So I was able to take some inspiration, if you like, from the list of research priorities and use it as an avenue to exercise my great passion for growing food at home, particularly, and the benefits it brings to me. So the topics that I'm really looking at with this project and with the team that have now gathered with me are resilience, intergenerational relationships and the stresses and strains there, food and exercise, and obviously maintaining gardening. So I was able to put a application together with colleagues at the university and secure some funding, a seed grant, some initial funding from the Office for Seniors, to whom I'm forever grateful.
Well, that's a great introduction. And as you listed these things, I'm wondering if we can just explore a little bit about what you mean by resilience. How does this gardening project build resilience?
Thanks, Anne-Marie. So within that topic, what we're focusing on and what the group is starting to talk more and more about is being connected. Being connected to each other as friends, being connected to Mother Earth, to the soil, being connected to our communities. As Chris said, when you were coaching us in the warm-up, when she's gardening in her front yard garden, the neighbours speak with her. So ways to connect, really, And part of the application, the pitch I made for funding to support our group, is that loneliness is a killer of humans and isolation is extremely bad for our well-being. And I believe that gardening can facilitate connections. So, yeah.
And intergenerational, as a focus, has gathered momentum of recent times. I know we've had programs about it. How does intergenerational connections work in this project? Chris, would you like to comment?
Well, I haven't got that involved with that just yet, but I think it's a really good idea. I mean, I've tried to teach my grandchildren to garden. They've drifted off and lost interest, but I certainly know that I was taught by my father how to garden, and that's something that's been with me all my life. And I hope that in this project we can teach people of all ages, not just children, the joy, really, the joy of gardening.
Mm. And food supply. So we hear about food shortages. We hear about food banks not having enough food. We hear about many people who are stealing food from even supermarkets and shops. So getting a good supply of your own homegrown food seems to be a marvellous idea. May, would you like to comment?
At home, I grow a bit of my vegetables, and for instance, I have kumara in my garden, and I have quite a few fruit trees, sort of like throughout the year. So I enjoy my garden. The fruit that come out from the garden, they are even the kumara or any of the vegetables that I am eating each and every day. It appears to me more nutritious and tastier. Mm. And this is typically like the organic vegetables that people buy in the shops. So, and oftentimes there's such a lot, I couldn't eat them all and then just give it away.
Mm. And so, yes, and with giving away food that's so precious and so well produced, I'm sure you make lots of connections with people.
Yes, well, say for instance, when the plums or the peaches are in season, so I just give them away to my neighbours, and because they are quite perishable and they last for about a month or something, the period of seasoning. When the fruit matures, and there's only so much you can eat. So you have to give them away.
Now, exercise, that's an interesting thing, because some people say, oh, I'm too stiff in my joints and I don't want to kneel down and I can't do this and I can't do that. And I know myself, I watch my reactions to nerve pain and sore shoulders and tired back and different things that crop up. And they're not permanent things, but they can dampen your enthusiasm for things like gardening. How have you found this generally, Chris?
Well, my limbs are okay, but I come back from gardening, either doing it at my own place or doing it down the local creek, covered with bruises because my skin is so thin, but which people tell me is always happening to them too. But mostly my body's okay at the moment, and it might be because I do keep on gardening and doing things.
And, okay, we're going to switch into the maintaining gardening as one of those five reasons why the project got off the ground. So I'm thinking about what you were meaning by maintaining gardening, so our listeners would catch on to this.
Yeah, so I've been in many, many conversations with people in the context of the centre, which is a research centre, a developing research, so that we can live the lives we want to live well. And there are fears and concerns or realities now that people are looking out into their garden and it's not maintained to the extent that they would wish as they get older. So one of the inspirations for me for this project is that we could maybe set up some deals. I grew up on a farm. I grew up in a workplace. So forever we were doing deals and trades and agreements, right? So one of my inspirations for this project is we may be able to match learner gardeners together with experienced gardeners and they can trade knowledge for physical fitness, perhaps. So I'm looking for ways for people to maintain their gardens that also achieve connections and many other benefits through gardening. So I see gardening as a facilitator, really.
And in part of this gardening revival, I heard a comment made that it's important to understand what nature can do for us, thinking that we have a lot to learn from nature. And I'm wondering if you'd like to make some comment about that.
Well, growing up on the farm, it was normal for me to be outside as much as in. And I just thought it was normal to take delight, joy in the beauty of nature. I grew up in Whakatū Nelson, so very seasonal, changing seasons. I could see what was happening with nature. So to be not connected to nature for me is an unnatural state. And I need it for my well-being. I don't really know how to explain it, except that I am drawn to natural environments, to natural things, to things like wood in my house, more than I'm drawn to metal or plastic. So it, for me, it's about being connected to nature. And I see it as another deal, really. I can help nature. She helps me. And it to me is a beautiful flow of living, of being alive in the world.
Mm-hmm. And older people have a role to play in this gardening revival that's going on. And it seems to me, thinking about how important it is that with climate change, we understand what's happened, what's gone before, because it's not the first time that we've had big issues to deal with in the climate. We have had some very dry spells, some very wet spells, floods, I can remember, snow in Christchurch where I grew up in the city. I can remember floods when the Avon River flooded. And a lot of people growing up today might never have had those experiences. So we had to learn what we could depend on, what crops were reliable in different seasons, and what could you do to alter your soil to cope with the climate change. And I think this sort of need of being able to translate that to people today so that they can be more confident and more capable. It seems to me a really important learning process which is likely to come out of a project like this.
Yes, I'm finding as we talk about this that I know so much about gardening that I didn't know I knew. That I have had, 60 years of experience in gardening, and I almost automatically know what should go where and how you should treat it. So I'm finding that quite interesting, because I do think I've got quite a lot of gardening wisdom to instill in anybody who wants to learn.
So I'm curious to know how this project works on the ground from Monday to Sunday. Is everybody gardening in their own way individually, or is there some commonality? How do you share your experiences and your successes and your celebrations?
So what we've done as a project, and it's this calendar year through until December, is that we've agreed that we'll get together as experienced gardeners, as a group, and we have a lot of wonderful supportive friends, including you, Anne-Marie, around us that are cheering us on, really. I can feel it. We're also aware, though, that time is very tight, and one person that's now in the friend network rather than the group said, well, if I come and meet with you every month, how will I maintain my own garden? And that's fair enough. So basically, we're a project team, and our aim is to gather our knowledge, like Chris says, her 60 years, into some tips that we can share with people who want to be better at gardening themselves. And come spring, because I live to the seasons, even though I'm on the clock as a salaried worker at the university, I live to the seasons. We're going to work through the winter once a month as a group together. We're going to produce some resources. We don't know what they'll look like yet. We've just started talking. And then in the spring, we will invite people of all ages, all people, to come with us if they're interested to hear our top tips of our decades and decades and decades of growing food and gardening and feeling joy of being together in nature.
Wow. So we will be able to let people know about your spring celebration, and we'll be able to share that on air. I'm also keen to come along with a revolving mic and maybe interview a few of you there.
I'd absolutely love that because, as I said, part of the motivation is to bring all of the people, whoever wants to be part of the revival, to facilitate their connection into it. So that would be wonderful, Anne-Marie.
Hmm. And I'm thinking about people who've never done any gardening or who've only done it as a child, and so far back in the recesses, they find it hard to think about, that they can feel very daunted to get started. And my experience with people is that minding pots, minding containers, having even just one or two plants that they talk to, that they make sure they get watered now and again, not too much, not too little, and just have that relationship going, that in itself can be quite a shift in their whole mindset.
I think there is research in residential aged care where if you just have a pot to look after, you don't feel so helpless. You feel like you've got a point in your life, and it makes you less likely to be depressed. It gives you slightly more meaning in life when otherwise you might not have too much. So just a pot plant or two to look after, and that really improves the quality of your life.
Yes, and people who sometimes have had a lot of trauma, or they've been on overwhelm, and they've struggled with their mental health, I've often said to them, just get yourself a plant that speaks to you, something that you know you're going to enjoy looking after, and have it close by your entranceway. It may be indoors, it may be outdoors, but when you pass your front door to go in or to go out, you get a chance to talk to that plant and relate to that plant, and you're observing how it's going. So you're not having to look after a whole garden and think, oh, no one's looked after this for 10 years, I don't know where to start. You've actually got a project of your own which can uplift you.
I agree with you totally, Anne-Marie. I found that if you are planting a plant and you talk to them, you talk to the plant, you sing to the plant, it just makes you feel happy. And it is so therapeutic that it's just incredible. And I found that it is, as you said, that sometimes it can relieve your stress. And if you look at a plant and you see the healthy plant, and it is so nice. And I hate to see a plant died.
I once had a male boss that everyone sort of crept around, and in the mornings he used to read the newspaper beside a cactus plant in his office. Well, he used to make all sorts of private jokes about why it was a cactus plant. But seriously, I do think that you can nurture plants, and maybe just that habit of nurturing one plant can be sufficient to shift a mindset to help you be more nurturing with the humans that you interact with.
Yeah, while you were talking about cactus plant, I do have a cactus plant, and it actually was a birthday gift to my daughter, and it was only a very small pot, and now that it has grown into a plant of about, I think it is about half a meter, and it keep on blanching out. So it is probably, I think, when coming to gardening or planting, it is quite important that you have to understand the nature of the plant, that particular plant that you are planting. Some of them, say for example cactus, they like north facing, they don't like wet feet and so on. So you just have to understand that, but those knowledge you will grow, it will get to you when you come to us.
Indeed. And I'm thinking also that perhaps when we were children, we knew that you had to dig a hole to put a plant in. We knew that you needed to water it. We sometimes knew about composting. But we didn't always understand the biology of the soil. And there is now amazing research that shows how plants cooperate with each other. How mushrooms look after the tree roots, and how cabbages send out messages when they're being eaten by insects. And those messages go much wider than just the cabbage patch. They go to other plants. So we never thought about plants communicating before, and we never thought about how nature works. And, we think about animals as being competitive, but we don't think about the cooperation that goes on in nature. And it's such a wonderful thing for children to learn about, as well as for us to appreciate.
That's partly why I don't like pot plants too much, because they've got nobody to talk to, you see, apart from me. Connect with each other.
I am very interested in cooperation, as you say, collectives, and how, and systems, how things have knock-on effects, because it's a part of us really learning or practicing or having practices of concentration. So if I insert myself into the system in this way, is it for good or ill? So it's a sort of a deliberateness and a focus. But I absolutely agree, Anne-Marie, that there is a renewed interest in the revival with permaculture, with soil biology, with how things are connected, and with composting, and in terms of climate change, how we can be composting rather than sending our treating things that are useful actually is waste and sending them to landfill as compost, and in composting systems they can be hugely contributing and beneficial.
Yes, I think now that we know more and appreciate more about composting, and that knowledge is being shared more, I think that we've got the basis of realising that the health of the plants is dependent on the health of the soil. And that if you haven't got a healthy soil, you're not really going to have a lot of success with your plants, and the quality of the nutritional food won't be as good.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So it's the end result is what you put in and how it flows. So I am very interested in the nutritional benefits and people being successful in their growing, because I think that adds to our resilience. But also to be resilient when you have fails as a gardener. So I think that's a really important part of living too.
Yes, we need to learn to cope with failure, because that's, if we don't have failure, we don't get resilience built. So it's a kind of necessary thing to go through. But I'm sure too that there will be some very interesting outcomes from this project. And I'm wondering, in terms of the health outcomes, do you have any connections with data collection about how the individuals might change in terms of their health outcomes, their basic tests, blood tests, blood pressure, weight?
Yes, anything? We can connect into all of that kind of knowledge. What I'm doing in leading, supporting, facilitating this project is as a sociologist. So the social ways and mores of how we feel better. So what I'm after in co-creation method is how we feel, Chris, May, myself and the other members of the team, the difference it makes to us. And once we've done this work with teaching others in the spring and our intergenerational sessions, possibly putting in an application for a much bigger, more ambitious piece of research that possibly will connect into the biological evidence. But what we bring is the social evidence of how we feel about it and the difference it'll make to us. As a movement, I do have an end game, which is to potentially advocate, go to Parliament even, I don't know where we need to go, for green social prescriptions to be part of our ways that we look after each other and ourselves.
I do think there is some recognition in the health system already, but it will be interesting to see whether that can be grown, because the potential is huge and it could save such a lot in terms of a reduced drug bill, I'm quite sure.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. One thing that Tamika and I were talking about earlier is that you have to have hope if you're a gardener. You plant your things and you expect the world to last for the next 3 months if you're going to see the result of that. Now, look, sometimes I think it's not going to last that long, but I have put in my broad beans and I'm hoping that I'll still be around and the world will still be around for me to eat them.
And I'm thinking also is that we talked about the 15-minute city, and I like that idea that you can access green space and your living needs, your food and so on, without having to use your motor car and without having to lose friends. So you can actually have everything that you need and connect with on your doorstep or 15 minutes away, no further. So on that note, with that vision, I'd like to finish today, and we would like to be in contact and follow the project through and meet with you again. So thank you all for coming in.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
Kia ora, Anne-Marie and team. Thanks for having us.
And to our listeners, thanks for being with us, and we hope you'll join us next week. Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.
104.6 Planet FM.
Feeling overwhelmed by anxiety, stress, burnout, hard to ground yourself or focus on a task? mantra yoga is a lifeline for the body and mind. Do you want to improve your alertness, improve your nervous system, your health, and express yourself properly? Join us every Tuesday.